can't decide and torn between a romantic, comedy, action, or an indie film to watch for the weekend? Well, well, well. Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast is your ultimate guide to the latest movies. Join us as we dissect the latest on the blockbusters. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast.
Welcome to the GSMC Movie Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I am your host, Heidi, and today I am super excited. I say that I am excited every episode, mostly because I am, but I am particularly excited for this episode because we are talking about documentaries, short subject documentaries to be specific. And yes, I have mentioned some documentaries in the past, even some short subject documentaries. But this time, these ones are different because these are Academy Award nominated. Yes, we are talking about the films in the Best Documentary Short Subject category, and I have seen as many as I can. I will say there was one that I was not able to find. I was not able to watch it, but I have watched all the other ones. I am very excited to share them all with you and to give sort of a rundown of what they're about. Also, most of them are pretty easy to find. I think it is because they are shorter, so they're not as difficult. Other third-party websites, not like your normal streaming websites, often just have them. So that is very exciting and does make them particularly accessible. But before I get too deep into each individual one, I realize that as much as I love documentaries and that as much as I have watched other documentaries and talked about them on this show, I haven't really talked about what documentaries are in a more scholarly sense. And I haven't really talked about like different types of documentaries, things like that. So I just want to give a very brief little like overview about them. I'm not an expert. I just enjoy them and I just, you know, did a little bit of research and I studied this a little bit in school. But I just wanted to mention there are kind of different types of documentaries, specifically two main types that I think if you're trying to, you know, separate them into categories, or really two main categories. The first one is cinema verite, which is French. It means truthful cinema. And this is a style of documentary filmmaking. It was invented by Jean Roche, and he was inspired by Dziga Vertov's theory about kino prava. Kino pravada is a, it's like filming life exactly as it happens, kind of without a director, like without a director's input, perhaps with a hidden camera. So cinema verite was inspired by kino pravada theory, but it's kind of like a different branch that stemmed off of that and sort of developed into its own style. Cinema verite, although inspired by this very direct fly-on-the-wall type, this type of documentary style, though, is a more improvisational, like there's a different use of camera. And the camera and the storytelling is used to unveil truth or hidden subjects, often hidden behind the cruel, I don't know, cruel reality, because they're French, so yes. cinema verite can involve stylized setups or just like interactions between the filmmaker and the subject. Like kind of like if the director is asking a documentary subject questions or commenting during the filming of the movie, like when you see a subject and they're being interviewed, and even if you can't hear someone off camera asking a question, you kind of know that they did and they're leading the subject in that way. Or maybe you see text at the bottom of the screen with a question or something like that. That is more of the cinema verite style. The injections by the filmmaker into the documentary are really meant to reveal truth, the truth that perhaps could only be revealed through like provocation. And like, this isn't direct cinema. This is like what directors are saying you can get like beyond just like filming life. This is what is the truth that is behind the reality. Like sometimes we hide things behind, like, you know, just kind of the masks that we put on every day. But cinema verite is supposed to expose what's underneath. And sometimes that involves the director sort of like prodding to make it happen. The other branch of director filmmaking is called observational cinema or direct cinema. And this is mainly, it does not involve like a voiceover, and it's largely concerned with recording the events in which like the subject and the audience are unaware of the camera's presence. It's like a fly on the wall, you know, like it's just observation mode. The director does not intervene in what's going on. They don't ask questions. They're not setting things up to happen. They're just strictly filming what's going on. They're not, you know, saying, oh, that person should be reading a book at this time. They're not doing that. It's just exactly what's going on. So those are the two main branches of director film, documentary filmmaking, cinema verite and observational cinema or direct cinema. Different styles, but I enjoy both. I'm not going to say I think one is better than the other. I think sometimes it depends on the subject. And of course, it is the director's choice, you know, like how they want to set this up. Okay, now that we've gotten that brief lesson, I just want to start off. The first film we're talking about is Endgame. This documentary was directed by Rob Epstein and Jeffrey Friedman. It was released in May of 2018. This is about 40 minutes, and you can find this one on Netflix. This was the only one that I found on a more conventional streaming service. It's it's very easy to watch. You probably have a Netflix account. If not, you can just like steal a family member's Netflix account, but you should definitely watch it. And this is a intimate documentary. It follows families and individuals as they navigate through end of life care, either through like hospitals or hospice care, all in San Francisco. It asks some really big questions. It kind of asks, like, one of the main ones is like, what is death or what happens after we die? Those are like huge questions. And I really would want to say, are you ready to cry? Like, do you want to just watch a movie and just cry for like 30 minutes to half an hour? Well, if you do, this is the movie for you, because it involves death and it involves people who are either dealing with it on their own or the family members of these people and how the family deals with it. I want to say one of my main observations from this that I thought was interesting, and perhaps this could be maybe the setting of the film in San Francisco particularly, but many subjects in this film had this big feeling of unknown. They weren't sure where they were going to go after death. And I found that interesting because as opposed to focusing on perhaps individuals who have a particular type of faith, maybe who are not questioning where they're going, but feel that they kind of know where they're going, like either they have a belief in an afterlife, you know, or perhaps reincarnation or something like that. You didn't see many people interviewed who seemed to feel that way. There were a particular, I don't know if it wasn't necessarily everyone in the film, but there are some subjects that talk about the unknown and dealing with the unknown of death and having to embrace it in that way as they are facing it, as they are facing, you know, it's basically imminent. So that was really interesting for me, at least to see, or at least the subjects who did talk about it openly in that sense. It was very interesting to watch. Also, everyone in this film has to deal with being okay with death. And also accepting suffering. That was something that I was not expecting, because it's not necessarily just the people who are dying. It is the people around them. So this does follow multiple subjects in the film. As I said, individuals and family. There is one particular family, and the patient in this family is Mitra, and she is dying, I believe, of cancer. And the film really focuses on her family and how they are just coping and dealing with her end-of-life care. It also follows a doctor who is an amputee, and he kind of guides people through suffering. He also, runs a hospice center in San Francisco called like the Zen Hospice, which has a more alternative approach to dying, basically. Of course, hospice is like kind of what we all think about is like the very end and just pain management as people pass away. And this hospice center is not necessarily about dispensing medications like that, but more just like trying to care for people holistically as best they can as they are ending their journey on in life. This also, it's like there are other characters. You see other, like this amputee doctor interviews other people who are dealing with the passing of loved ones, perhaps, or dealing with their own imminent death. And it's just, oh gosh, I just, at a certain point of this film, I just felt like I had no more tears left to cry. Not because it's a bad movie or it's like overwhelmingly sad, but I felt very connected to this movie. I felt like, what if that were like my family member dying or like my family watching me die? And that was, I guess, something that I don't like to think about. I mean, who likes to think about that? But this film, it makes you think about it because the people in this film have to think about it. And it poses that to you, I guess, to the audience. You know, these people are facing it, and you should also think about it and not be afraid and also face it. So that was definitely a very interesting movie watching experience, and one that, for all of the sadness that it brought, I would say I did enjoy, and I do suggest it. Again, it's on Netflix. It's only 40 minutes. It's pretty easy just to find out there on the interwebs, so I would highly suggest. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back and keep talking about some more short documentaries.
Want to know the latest and hottest music hitting the airwaves? Don't be left out. Listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Music Podcast. Keith keeps you on the loop with everything you need to know from pop, rock, hip-hop, and the top 40. And we'll throw in news of your favorite artists, concert and tour dates, and so much more. Listen no further, because this is the gold standard in music podcast.
Welcome back to the GSMC Movie Podcast. We are continuing to talk about some nominated documentaries, particularly short subject documentaries. And before the break, we talked about the film Endgame. I'm now moving on to the next film. This is called Black Sheep. And this film was directed by Ed Perkins. It is only 27 minutes long, which, though, is not the shortest film on this list, which we will get to. But this film is about the high-profile killing of a young boy, which occurred in the film's subject, Cornelius, and it occurred in his neighborhood. And because of that, Cornelius's family moves out of London, and they go into their new home, which is a bit more in the suburbs. And once there, it's discovered that the town, this new town, is run by racists. And Cornelius then takes a drastic step to survive in this situation. I should mention Cornelius and his family are of African descent. They live in England. So he moves from London, which is very diverse, a very diverse urban neighborhood, but also a bit more dangerous, at least in a conventional sense. He then moves to a suburb, which is basically everyone there is white and they're the only black family. And he soon learns that it's not necessarily run by like a racist mayor, but the town is kind of run by like a racist gang, which is this like group of a couple families that have the most power in the town. And I mean, obviously Cornelius and his family stand out, and it's kind of like how he manages this whole situation. Also, this documentary is very interesting because it is told by Cornelius. And so this is definitely in the cinema verite style. He is in an interview describing this whole situation. And then it is told through flashbacks where it's like reenactments. So it's a true story, but then they have other actors reenact what happened. And then occasionally you see like real Cornelius appear in these reenactments, sort of just to like put emphasis on certain things. It is a very interesting film. The filmmaker asks very thought-provoking questions, like, did you feel guilty about a certain action and a certain thing that Cornelius does in this film? And I think I have to put a point towards the cinema verite, because I don't think this story, I mean, it couldn't have been told with observational cinema because they weren't filming the incident. But because of such a strong hand of the director in this movie, you get a better insight into what Cornelius was feeling at the time, thinking, what was going on in his personal life, because he takes drastic steps to protect himself against these racists in his town, because his family's not going to move. But he has to then deal with, like, okay, people who just want to beat me up all the time and call me names and who are really a threat to his safety, what he does to fit in. And I think if you didn't have the director asking things like, did you feel guilty about some of your actions, or asking him to really describe everything and what he was going through at the time, you might be confused by his actions, because they are drastic. And so you might not understand why a kid would do that or go to the extent that he did to fit in. He kind of like goes directly to these racist families who are in power. And it's really interesting. It's a very good story. Also, Cornelius is very well spoken. He has clearly thought a lot about this story from his past. And like it's so much better because he's the one telling the story. If they had had someone else, just some random narrator, tell it, it would not nearly have been as good. So it's not a conventional documentary, because it's not real. It's not filming actual events. It's more telling you about what happened. But I don't think it could have been done better if it wasn't in that style. I think that style is perfect for this story. So very well done. Difficult to watch just because of some of the nature of the events, but very important. I would highly suggest it. And I believe this, I think I just found it by typing it into Google. I don't believe this one's not on Netflix. But again, most of these are all pretty easy to watch. All right, going on to the next documentary. This is called Lifeboat, and this was directed by Skye Fitzgerald. It was filmed in 2016, and it is about the volunteers with the German nonprofit group Sea Watch, who venture out for 2 weeks at a time, rescuing migrants from Libya and then ferrying them to the EU transport vessels. And then eventually this group, they'll just return back to their port to refuel, swap out crew members, and then just continue on again. It's, oh gosh, I mean, this film, it's so good. I have to say, it really is. It is Skye Fitzgerald's second film in what is a planned trilogy, and it is made with a all-volunteer team. The first film in this trilogy is 50 Feet from Syria, which focuses on a Syrian-American doctor who volunteers his services to victims of the Syrian Civil War. And in each film, Fitzgerald, what he does is his crew, they just embed themselves long enough to get really vivid close-up shots and, like, different views, I guess, of the situation. And then it's brief enough that they can do it on a limited budget. But it is very impactful. The crew that he works with is very good, because they capture some amazing moments. And they have interviews as well by the people who, some of the migrants and some of the people who volunteer with the nonprofit Sea Watch. You get some great different points of view, and it's beautiful. I mean, they're filming on the Mediterranean, and you just get some amazing, amazing shots of the ocean. I was very impressed. The film begins, there's some grim footage, I really have to say. There's some really grim footage of volunteers. They're on some North African beaches, and they're at night, and what they're doing is they're collecting dead bodies. It's hard to watch. It's the bodies of people who had tried to migrate across the Mediterranean. And then from this grim scene, you then go to this like overhead shot of just the beautiful waters of the Mediterranean. And there's just sounds of like news reports reporting on all the people that are crossing from North Africa into Europe, and all the people who were dying, just dying by the hundreds. And then you go to John Castle. And John Castle, he's on his boat. He is a captain of the boat that rescues the migrants who are trying to make it across the Mediterranean. And there's really no big explanatory voiceovers, but you get what's going on from the director and like the interviews they do, like with John Castle. And the focus is really on the visuals And also some of the pacing, it's kind of slow because a lot of the nature of what they do can be very slow. They're just out on the ocean, they're waiting. And it's beautiful, and you get the words of what's going on in this crisis of migrants from the migrants themselves, which is sort of the advantage of documentaries. You're not relying on a narrator or some, I don't know, all-knowing force to tell you what's going on. You're getting first-hand accounts, which is very powerful and very important. And so I appreciated that a lot about this film. They put the power in the migrants to tell you what's happening in their own lives, which is the best way they could possibly tell the story. You just get like a migrant, Nadine, she's from Cameroon, and she talks about being in a jail in Libya. They were kidnapped. She talks about like how they were kidnapped and sold, both like boys and girls, and just like the prostitution that occurs and the beatings. It's difficult to hear. I would say the most disturbing footage, like you visually see, is probably the beginning and also the end, involving some of the migrants who had not survived parts of the trip. But the words are also impactful and difficult to hear, but you don't see, they're not doing like reenactments of things. They're just filming what's going on in the moment. Also, some of the best parts of this film are the words of John Castle, this volunteer. And he's very, like, he's kind of soft-spoken, but he's profound in what he's talking about. He's been a volunteer for a very long time, and he's been an activist before he worked on Sea Watch. He worked to stop whale poachers and hunters. So really, he's very embedded in trying to help others and trying to help, like, the whales or people and creatures who cannot stand up for themselves. And he just talks about, like, what would happen, you know, to all the poor who are trying to cross, and how it's only a matter of time before, like, the world just changes and those who are now in power become the poor and helpless. And how then those who are now poor will become in power, and those who are in power will become poor, and they'll be the ones asking for handouts, asking for assistance. And he brings up, like, what are you going to do then? You know, if you didn't reach out a hand now, are they going to do that for you when your time comes? And you must see this film, kind of like White Hats. It puts White Hats was another great short documentary that has been mentioned on this podcast. It puts a face on very real and current and terrible situations that are going on around in our world. It's important to learn about them, and this is just a great source. And this could really be a starting point if you want to research more into the migrant crisis. So I would say you should definitely watch it. It's inspiring. And it just made me feel like, what am I doing to help people around me? How am I helping those who are less fortunate? So very inspiring, very impactful. I highly, highly recommend this film. Okay, so we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back and keep talking about some more short documentaries.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the GSMC Movie Podcast. We are continuing to talk about some nominated short subject documentaries. Before the break, we talked about the film Lifeboat, and now we are moving on to talk about A Night at the Garden. This is the shortest film on the list of nominees. It is only 7 minutes, and this was directed, edited, and produced by Marshall Curry. And it is a film that pieces together archival footage from 1939 to create a firsthand look at a Nazi rally that was held at New York Madison Square Garden. This attracted 22,000 Americans, which is insane and terribly frightening. The rally is rarely mentioned in the history books, but it occurred mere months before the start of World War II. And through the use of archival footage, Marshall Curry captures the fervor of the American, of the German-American Bund, which is like a pro-Nazi organization based in the U.S. And apparently it had many members. And this film is only 7 minutes, but it is very impactful, as you can imagine, just by learning about the topic. Marshall Curry has been nominated for Best Documentary Oscar twice. Once for Street Fight in 2006, and then again if a Tree Falls, A Story of the Earth Liberation Front in 2012. I think I've actually seen that film. Anyway, this is a really, really interesting documentary. The footage is very well restored, and it's, I've never heard about this rally happening, but I just like, it's incredible. And it can't, I can't watch this without think about some of the recent events in our history related to Nazis in the U.S. and just the fear that I think people have started to feel again, that perhaps this type of movement is gaining traction. And I just, I think looking at the past and particularly looking at it through footage of the actual event and what actually happened, it makes me more afraid, I guess, for the future, which is interesting when you're thinking about history. Just it's very impactful. And he did this very well. He edited it in a way that is chronological to what happened. So you kind of start looking at like protests that were going on outside of the rally, and then it moves you through the rally and you see different things that happened at this event. The editing of the footage, it's like a, yeah, this is a chronological like storybook form, kind of like a, like it looks sort of like a fiction film would, I guess. And it's like, I guess, like I was saying, like it's made chronologically and it has a sort of fiction-like feel, but it's not meant to steer you in a way, like the director's not trying to make you think any certain way. Although I have, like, he's not making you try and say something about Nazis, but I have to say, if you didn't know, your feeling about Nazis should be negative. I don't think a director should have to tell you that. but I don't know, it's only like 7 minutes. I don't want to give away too much. There is a scene when someone rushes on stage to like protest. It is really good. You should really watch it. I highly suggest it. This one in particular, I believe I just found this. Most of them you can find information about just really easily by typing it into Google. But if you just type in the title, A Night at the Garden, I believe the New York Times wrote a little article about it, and then they put in the whole film just into their article, so you can just watch the whole 7 minutes that way. I highly suggest, again, it's only 7 minutes. I watched it during my lunch break. You should really see it. It's not narrated. There is some music that plays in the background, and it goes well with the editing. There's also some other sound that is connected to it. And it's like, I don't know, it's, it just, as you watch it, the sound, it grows more and more intense. Not like a thriller sense, but just as the story progresses, I found myself just becoming more horrified, and the music kind of leads it to be a bit scarier as well. It's, I don't know, I think this should really be shown in every history class. Everyone should watch it. I had never heard about this event before, but you should definitely check it out. And really, people like in, if you're in like a U.S. history class, it should definitely be viewed. Also, there is some text that appears at the end of the film, and it informs audiences that at the same time that this rally was going on in the U.S., Hitler was building his sixth concentration camp in Europe. And then 7 months later, after this film, after this event occurred, that's when the Nazi army invaded Poland. So it's intense. It's this big setup, really, for history, and it informs you so much better of what's going on. But again, just to be able to see history through the eyes of people who were really there is very powerful. And something that I think is what gives documentaries so much power and importance in our society and in our pop culture. So I highly suggest watching this film. Again, 7 minutes. Come on, guys. You have nothing to lose except your feelings of contentment and security. So the last film that is nominated is called Period, End of Sentence. Unfortunately, I was not able to find this one online. I was not able to see it. I really want to. But this film, it takes place in a rural village outside of Delhi, India. And in this village, women are leading a quiet revolution. They are fighting against the deeply rooted stigma of menstruation. This documentary was directed by Raika Zetabachi, and it tells this story of these women. And it's like, honestly, I feel like I already knew about this subject, but to see this, to like learn about this particular story and this group of women was very inspiring. For generations, women, especially in India and other places in the world, don't have access to pads, and that leads to health problems and to girls missing school or dropping out entirely. But this film focuses on when a sanitary pad machine is installed into this village, and the women learn to manufacture and market their own pads, which empowers like the women of this entire community. And the women name their brand Fly because they want women to soar. And also it's connected to California because the machine is enabled by the work of some high school girls that raised the initial money for the machine, and they began a nonprofit called the Pad Project. So I'm so sad that I was not able to watch this. I really, really want to. If anybody knows how I can watch it, please let me know. At least it was not readily available through any streaming of any kind that I saw. But it looks great. I don't know if I can even say what film I think should win in this category. At least not yet. I don't think I've had time to really concentrate on it yet and make up my mind, because I'm just so overwhelmed by the work, and it's truly incredible. I think, honestly, after seeing all these, I'm like, I should make a short documentary. I can do that. I probably can, and I should, but who knows? So I think you should just watch every single one of these films. Just, I recommend all of them. They're so good. Please do yourself a favor, educate yourself, educate your family, and just learn about what's going on in the world or what went on in the past, and just be inspired to change and to live your best life. So that brings us to the end of the show. Thank you so much for tuning in, and please join us for the next GSMC Movie Podcast episode.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.